Penguin Random House Canada Audio presents The Game of Hope by Sandra Gulland. Read for you by Yannick Hébert. Secret griefs are more cruel than public calamities. Voltaire, from Candide. Part 1. Refuge. 12 September to 18 September, 1798. 26 Fructidor, au jour du génie, an 6. The Dream. I saw a man approaching. Cloaked and hooded, he moved with grace in the flickering candlelight. My heart soared. Father! He put out one hand, gloved in white leather. Hope was aglow all around him. But then, as always, his hood fell back, and there was only a bloody stump where his head should have been. I screamed, gasping for air, my heart pounding. Melson M. tried to calm me, but I only wept all the harder. What did my father want? Why was he haunting me? Maîtresse rushed into our room in rumpled nightclothes, a shawl thrown haphazardly over her shoulders. Such screaming, Angel. You'll terrify the little geniuses, she said, putting down her candle. The shadows made her face look like that of a ghoul. I'm sorry, I sobbed, slipping the miniature enamel portrait of my father from under my pillow. Father, so handsome, so elegant, to have died like that, the crowd cheering as his head fell into a basket of wood shavings. It's that same night fright she always has, Mouse told her aunt, her voice tremulous. That scary dream of her father, my cousin M said. I looked into Maîtresse's eyes. She was mistress of our boarding school, quite strict and demanding, yet we all loved her. With his... I winced, making a slashing motion across my neck. Come here, my sweets, Maîtresse said, opening her arms. Dragging their blankets, M and Mouse huddled in close. I could feel Mouse trembling. We called ourselves the fearsome threesome, but in the dead of night, fearful threesome might have been more apt. Repeat after me, Maîtresse said, pulling the blanket snugly around us. She smelled deliciously of vanilla. We are safe now. We are safe now, we whispered in unison. Safe now. Safe now. Safe now. But were we? It had been 4 years since the tyrant Robespierre had been executed, bringing an end to the terror. But what if it were to happen again? Practically every girl in our school was of the nobility. What was to keep us from being hunted down, having our heads cut off? I bit my lip, recalling the stench of the dead, heaped like garbage in the square. Maîtresse clasped my shoulder. The strength of her grip brought me back. You grew up in a violent time, she said, her voice soft. You witnessed things no child should ever have to see. But memories are like words on a wax tablet. They can be erased. You are smart and creative and talented. You can become whatever you wish, but first, you must learn to direct your thoughts, even your dreams. She tucked a stray strand of my hair back up under my nightcap. Remember, you are safe now. Safe now. I woke before dawn, my thoughts in disarray, my heart aching. Father, must you frighten me so? Was I the cause of your death? I whispered my morning devotions curled up under my blankets, praying that I would never have that dream again. Praying for the safety of my big brother, Eugène, who was a soldier now, fighting with our stepfather's army in faraway Egypt. Praying that my stepfather, General Bonaparte, would somehow disappear from my life, lost to the sands of that barbaric country. Praying that I would become a better person and not have such evil thoughts. Praying that my mother would stop trying to find a husband for me. Praying for a horse of my own. Praying for one of Maîtresse's delicious chocolate madeleines. And then, especially heartfelt praying, sinfully, I know, for the safety of a certain someone who was also with the general's army in Egypt. Dawn breaking, I slipped shivering out of bed and wrapped myself in a shawl. Quietly, so as not to wake Em and Mouse, I put kindling and a few sticks of wood on the embers in the fireplace, blowing until they caught fire. I heard a rooster crow and tiptoed to the window to unlatch the shutters. It was cold for early fall. There was a shimmer of frost on the courtyard cobbles. My thick notebooks were stacked to one side on the study table I shared with Em and Mouse. I'd been away for 3 months tending my injured mother. I had missed the Institute so much. I had been enrolled at only 12, shortly after my father was executed and Maman released from prison. Now I was 15. Maman was married to General Bonaparte, and my brother was on the general's staff in Egypt. Time passed so quickly, and death came quickly too. Safe now? I heard a maid walking the halls, clanging her iron triangle with a metal beater, a grating high-pitched ringing sound. 6 o'clock. Time for everyone to wake. Em groaned, pulling her covers up over her head. Did you sleep, Hortense? Mouse asked, her voice groggy. A bit, I said, yawning. It had taken me time to get back to sleep after the fright of my dream. Em chuckled from under her covers. You kept me awake the rest of the night, she said, poking her head out. Talking lovey? No, I said, yet flushing. I shared everything with Em and Mouse, everything except one secret, which I'd not had the courage to reveal, knowing how foolish they would find me. Me, 15, not pretty, not rich, moonsick for the most handsome of the general's aides. A man I'd only seen a few times and who was now far away in Egypt. A man who hardly knew my name. You have a bow? Mouse asked with that funny little squeak her voice sometimes got. I'd tell you if I did, I said, pulling my clothes out of my travel trunk, yet to be unpacked. It wasn't a lie. Not really. I didn't have a bow. I only wished I did. One bow in particular. The triangle sounded a second time in warning. Get up. Your turn to go first, Em, Mouse said, not wanting to leave the warmth of her bed. Soon we would be on our winter schedule and not have to rise until 7. Em, sighing in protest, slipped from under her covers, grabbed her chamber pot, and disappeared behind the screen. Oh, me. She said. The reds. Do you have what you need? I asked. There are cloths here, Em said. There was a rap at our door. Citoyenne Hortense, you're back, Maid Flore said, surprised to see me. She arrived last night, Mouse said from under the covers. In the dark. How is your lovely mother? Flore asked, filling each of our porcelain wash basins with steaming water. Improved. Grâce à Dieu. She can stand up now. As soon as Flore left, the triangle clanged a third time. Get dressed. Mouse sat up, groping for her spectacles on the table beside her bed. It's a bit chilly, I said, slipping on my flannel chemise and a wool school gown over it. The long white dress was starting to feel small for me around the chest. Yes. I was arranging my multicolored sash, the sash worn by those of us who had completed all the levels, the Maltese, we were called, when another servant appeared, the country girl who worked in the laundry room. A frosty morning, girls. Emily, you will want your lovely shawl. I stitched on your initials and number. She closed the door behind her. It's new, Em? I asked, passing the shawl over to her. A delicate shade of rose. The thick, luxurious cashmere was well beyond our means. It was a gift from her husband, Mouse said with a giggle. Her husband. That sounded so strange to me. M had been introduced to Captain Antoine Lavette.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?